Hey, it's Luke at HIP, and if you've been listening to the Grow Ortho podcast maybe for weeks, months, or in some cases years, you know that we typically interview an industry expert, whether it be someone working in the office or a consultant, or just a strategic partner for orthodontists. Well, we're going to change things up just a bit, and this year we've actually released 4 books. And so we're going to release every audiobook, basically a chapter for each episode. Listen, enjoy, and let us know what you find valuable and implement and what works well in your office. Thanks so much for supporting HIP, and we hope you enjoy all these episodes on the Practice Growth Series.
Chapter 8, Visualizing Your Future Plans. We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. Albert Einstein. When it comes to growing their practices, most orthodontists immediately jump to their need for new patients. This brings us back to the main subject of Book 1, Front Desk Secrets, which was all about training your scheduling coordinator to be a master at responding to leads in 5 minutes or less and getting them booked for a free consultation within 72 hours. This book, The Ultimate Treatment Coordinator, was picked up from there to help you groom a TC who can turn those free consultations into starts. With those 2 key steps in the process under our belt, we can now talk about making headway on your production goals. When your team has mastered the concepts in the first 2 books of the Orthodontic Practice Growth Series, then your need for new patients will be handled. Problem solved, right? Now you can grow to the level of production you need to achieve your goal. It's actually not that straightforward. How big you want to grow dictates the business strategy you need to follow to get there. What growth looks like numerically. Over the past 8 years, I've had the opportunity to study over 1,000 orthodontic practices. At the time of this writing, HIP is actively working with over 140 practices to help them achieve their production goals. As far as size goes, I have broken it down by production numbers, which I have defined arbitrarily as small, medium, and large practices. A small practice is defined as anything below $3 million in production. A medium practice does between $3 and $8 million in production. A large practice is anything over $8 million. Disclaimer, this is my criteria, not necessarily the industry's. But stay with me as I explain why. All of these practice sizes are achievable by a solo orthodontist. I've seen it done. However, I do suggest bringing on an associate within the medium size. The question is, how big do you want to grow? What's your number? There's no right or wrong answer here. It really depends on your goals and the lifestyle you want this practice to support. Next, how are you going to fit all the new patients and follow-up visits into your schedule? Growth causes problems because it disrupts the status quo. Your current systems and procedures support the current volume in your office, but they will not work for you at the next level. In order to take our lives to the next level, we must realize that the same pattern of thinking that has gotten us to where we are now will not get us to where we want to go. Tony Robbins. Every level of growth presents a new set of problems that we have to solve with a new mindset. Before we get into the models of different practice sizes, let's just look at the problems that arise when you simply throw more leads at a practice and the logistical solutions that can be used to handle them. Let's say you've chosen your number and you see that you have some growth to do. You have been stuck at your current volume for a while and have decided the problem is that you don't have enough new patients. Let's call this problem number 1. You just need more new patients. What is solution number 1? Hire a marketing company to get you leads. The marketing company is showing you that they are getting results. Your ads are getting clicks to your website and web forms are getting filled out requesting free consultations. We have a new problem. Let's call it problem number 2. Your practice doesn't seem to be growing despite all the money you're spending on lead generation, and you're beginning to wonder about this marketing company. Your staff thinks the leads are low quality and don't seem motivated to follow up with them. What's solution number 2? Train your front desk on speed to lead and the concepts in Front Desk Secrets. You follow our recommendations, and your scheduling coordinator is now responding to the leads in 5 minutes or less and booking them for free consultations within 72 hours. The next problem arises because your scheduling coordinator is doing a great job of booking the leads from your marketing. Problem number three. We don't have enough room in our schedule for all the free consultations. We actually had a practice that called us up and fired us after 6 months of doing their marketing because they were too busy and booked out for months. I was disappointed that we did not get to help them solve the next level problems with their operations, but I was happy that they seemed to have grasped speed to lead. Solution number three is the topic of this book. It's all about getting your TC to be able to do 30-minute consultations and convert them into same-day starts. You get your team on board with the idea and get everyone to specialize in their roles. You diligently apply everything you've learned in the previous chapters, and you've doubled your capacity for consultations. Dr. Kyle Sparkman of Sparkman Orthodontics got referred to HIP because he needed a new website. He's been in practice for 16 years, has 3 doctors and 3 locations. Within 2 months, they got so busy that they were booked out for 6 weeks and had to ask us to turn advertising off until they could catch up. We worked with them to cut their exam time in half with the 30-minute consultation and were able to get the advertising back up and running. I just got a message from him saying they had a record month with 211 starts. Your practice is growing, the team is motivated, and the morale is good. The thing is, your scheduling coordinator is doing such a great job that all your free consultation slots are booked 3 weeks out. The next problem, problem number four, is that a lot of these appointments are no-shows. This is understandable with our instant gratification culture. People keep calling around until they find someone who can take them sooner and neglect to give us a courtesy call to tell us they aren't coming. They're not highly invested in showing up since it was a free consultation. Solution number four, which is also covered in this book, is to offer people a virtual consultation when you can't get them scheduled within the 72-hour window. This screens out the people who aren't serious about starting or can't afford treatment. It also helps the appointments that are booked further out to stick because they already feel involved with your office. It increases the conversion rate because these new patients are pre-screened and of higher quality. Now you're seeing the growth you want, and production is moving upwards towards your goal. The practice is much busier, and you have your hands full with all the follow-ups. Problem number five is that you have a hard time pulling away from chair time to go do consultations. Solution number five is the TC empowerment, doctorless consultation. You train your TC to deliver your recommendations from the patient's x-rays and photos. Your TC gets very good at this and increases their conversion rate. As a result, you have more time to spend on treatment, which is good because the number of follow-ups you need to do keeps increasing. Problem number six occurs when you start feeling like you're reaching the upper limit of follow-ups that you want to do in a day. Solution number six involves the use of technology to find solutions to providing follow-up without the patient needing to occupy your chair or take up your time. Check out tech solutions like dental-monitoring.com or rhinogram.com, which allow patients to send you photos of their teeth. This allows you to assess their progress faster without taking up chair time and provides them the convenience of a checkup without having to disrupt their day. Dr. Dressler, the founder of Rhinogram, who is also an orthodontist and client of HIP, said, "I have done over 1,200 virtual consults in my own practice. Most, if not all, patients know their teeth are crooked and need straightening. They also know the type of treatment they want, braces, clear aligners, etc. The reason for coming in to see you is to see what their insurance covers and if they can afford the treatment. Being able to answer that question 98% of the time from the patient's home will eliminate unnecessary in-office visits and chair time. It also eliminates endless follow-up for people who cannot afford your care but are too embarrassed to tell you face-to-face, but gladly tell you behind the texting mask. If your practice is growing, you should be running into problems. It's a good thing. The question is, how do you anticipate the problems and solve them so you keep moving towards your goal? Let's look at the operational models that orthodontists can use to build the different practice sizes and run them efficiently. A boutique practice. When an orthodontist graduates, hangs out their shingle, and opens their doors for business, they usually get what we refer to as a boutique practice. It's a nice little practice that reflects the personality and quirks of the doctor. They hit the ground running and tackle problems as they come. Systems get added on as problems come up, and they make it work. A practice like this can typically do about $1.2 million in production, but with all the competition out there and all the debt piling up, it can be a struggle. Transitioning from boutique to business. If the orthodontist realizes that their training made them a great clinical practitioner, but not a particularly good business owner, they can begin a transition from a boutique practice to a fast-growing orthodontic business. This involves the doctor admitting that they don't have the answers and they can't do it all themselves. They seek out help in running the business. Dr. Fishbein believes that orthodontists are good at one thing, being an orthodontist. I always say orthodontists are typically good at one thing, and that's orthodontics. It's also literally the most profitable thing they can be doing with their time. So when you see an orthodontist trying to manage these different areas, typically they're not great at it. But even more importantly, if they use that time to see patients, it would be a better use of their time, both functionally and financially. You've probably noticed that the training implementation necessary to get the processes in this book up and running takes a lot of time. Making the transition from boutique to business comes with the decision that you should not be the one overseeing the implementation and training. In the org chart for a small practice below, you'll notice that the orthodontist is at the top and below them is the office manager. The orthodontist sets the vision for where the practice will go and then delegates it to the office manager to make it happen. When Dr. Fishbein realized that he needed to hire an office manager to oversee the day-to-day operations instead of him, he knew he should promote one of his fantastic team members first. We've always promoted within. Our current COO, Amanda Floyd, who's the best in the business, started as a clinical assistant, and I promoted her to office manager. But I remember telling her, "Hey, I don't have anything left in the budget to pay you." But I told her what I wanted to do, how I wanted to grow, and every time we did grow, I would pay her more and more. I just outright told her where I wanted to be in 5 years' time in terms of production, and she agreed to do that with me. After the first 12 months of her working in the role, she told me we hit our 5-year mark. I remember her asking, "So what's next?" This is a small practice org chart showing a typical 3-level staff structure for a small orthodontic practice. The orthodontist is shown at the top of the hierarchy in a black box. The next level down is the office manager, in a dark gray box. On the third level, the 3 roles reporting to the office manager are front desk / scheduling in a white box, treatment coordinator in a light gray box, and clinical assistant in a gray box. Dr. Kristin Connect opened the doors to her brand new practice just days before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. She knew Connect Orthodontics needed a strong brand identity and an enjoyable experience that would convert potential leads into happy patients in her practice from the very beginning. We ensured that her vision for her practice was reflected in her digital platforms using HIP's brand identity process. In addition, Dr. Connect onboarded the right team members who could truly be brand ambassadors. We then ensured every team member was well-versed in our patient acquisition and retention framework. Once we were confident they could convert the leads we generated, we launched her marketing campaigns. Dr. Connect started her practice with a business mindset from the get-go. She invested heavily into the right people, systems, and marketing up front, and her investment paid off. In the first 10 months after opening her doors during a pandemic, she converted over $500,000 worth of digital leads into happy patients. I know doctors who work 5 or 10 years to get to this level, and it's all happened so quickly. I couldn't have done that on my own. She produced well over $1 million in her first full year in practice, 2021, and is on pace to produce $2 million this year. By next year, she will be on track to hire a chief operating officer, COO, and from there, it's up to her how big she wants to grow. It's all a matter of her goals and the lifestyle she wants to live. Head to https://hip.com/ dentist.agency/case-study/connectorthodontics/ to learn more about Dr. Necht's case study. When you look at the medium and large practice org charts, you'll notice that they both involve a COO. Adding this role to your practice is not something that makes financial sense right away. A practice should consider hiring a COO when they reach the 3 million mark. This is the topic of book number 3 in the Orthodontic Practice Growth Series. Dr. Fishbein shares his experience and what worked for him as he grew from a boutique practice to his 8 locations today. It's very easy for me to say that I have a COO, 8 TCs, and a director of operations, and all that stuff, because our production and collections are able to justify those needs. But when you're just starting off and you don't have those collections coming in, you're not going to be able to pay someone a couple of $100,000. I mean, the income's just not there. So when you start off, it's not uncommon for you to have a couple team members doing multiple roles. But as you grow, I think it's important that you have those team members in place ready to take on those responsibilities, because otherwise you're hindering your growth. So that's why, even in the beginning, I tended to like to be a little bit overstaffed than understaffed, even if that meant cutting my margin a little bit. Because I wasn't so worried about the margin and what I was taking home, because I knew that growth was going to help me down the line, which it did. Next is a medium practice org chart showing a typical multi-level staff structure for a medium-sized orthodontic practice. Text at the bottom tells us that a typical medium practice is around $3 million plus in production. At the top level of the hierarchy are the orthodontist and COO, shown in black boxes. The next level down has 6 positions, each color-coded to represent teams. Clinical director, treatment coordinators, financial coordinators, marketing director, patient call center director, and office manager. 4 out of 6 of the roles reporting to the orthodontist and COO have the following roles reporting to them. 1. Clinical director, lead assistant with assistants below, and lab technician with record technicians and inventory below. 2. Next is financial coordinators with insurance below. 3. Next is patient call center director with the call center team below. 4. Last is office manager with the front desk team below. Now we see a large practice org chart showing a typical multi-level staff structure for a large orthodontic practice. Text at the bottom tells us that a typical large practice is around $8 million plus in production. At the top level of the hierarchy are 2 orthodontist roles and the COO, shown in black boxes. The next level down is the director of operations, shown in a white box. The third level down has 6 positions, each with 1 or more positions reporting to them, all color-coded to represent teams. These positions are 1. Clinical director, shown on the far left in a light gray box. The line points toward an additional group of positions, also shown in light gray boxes. Clinical manager roles, shown in separate boxes on the fourth level. Below this, clinical assistant reports to 2 clinical managers. The third and fourth clinical manager roles have a lead assistant and lab technician, respectively. Below the lab technician are 4 additional positions: ClinCheck coordinator, Invisalign coordinator, record technician, and inventory coordinator. 2. The next role in the third level below director of operations is marketing director, shown in a gray box with community outreach below, also in a gray box. 3. Next in the third level is financial director, shown in a white box with financial coordinator below, also in a white box. 4. Next in the third level is sales director, shown in a light gray box with treatment coordinator below, also in a light gray box. 5. Next in the third level is patient call center director, shown in a dark gray box with the call center team below, also in a dark gray box. 6. Last in the third level at the far right is admin director, shown in a darker gray box. A line points toward an additional group of positions, also shown in darker gray boxes. 4 assistant managers, shown in separate boxes, on the fourth level. Below 2 of the assistant managers is 1 office manager, shown in a wider box to indicate the position serves both assistant managers. Below the other two assistant managers is the front desk team, shown in a wider box to indicate that the position serves both assistant managers. Dr. Fishbein explains how he was able to grow from a $1 million practice to a $25 million practice in less than 10 years. You know, there are so many key performance indicators that people talk about, and most of it is just noise to me. Like I hear about profit per visit and profit per case and blah, blah, blah. What we focus on is getting patients in the door and then taking really good care of those patients. And on top of that, taking really good care of our team. So I think if you focus on those things, those very simple things, I think you can grow faster. You can't just focus on all these small key performance indicators and metrics. As the orthodontist, focus on just a few important things and then delegate the other important things to your staff. I think that's one of the things that helped us. There's really no secrets. Just keep your patients and your team happy and delegate tasks to the right people on your team. If your production is at a level that will support hiring a COO, stay tuned for book number 3, which will be released in the fall of 2022. If you're not quite there yet, that's okay. The strategies in books 1 and 2 will have you growing to that level in no time if you and your team are dedicated to getting them up and running. For now, set the vision for how big you want to grow and why, and let's get to work creating the practice and life of your dreams.